Fanboys and Friends podcast presents.
Tried to do everything myself.
Red 5 Transmissions Radio.
Just reduced Kanan's targets by half. Tell our fearless leader he should be able to handle one lone TIE fighter on his own. What was that?
In a time of darkness, when fear ruled the galaxy, heroes will rise, destinies will collide.
Who is that kid?
And a rebellion will ignite.
Get ready.
Now!
A round table discussion about Star Wars Rebels.
If all you do is fight for your own life, then your life is worth nothing.
Get back up there and fix the shield. Wait, are you fighting stormtroopers?
What makes you say that?
Dude, I'm that kid.
You kidding? This is a blast.
Now, join the rebellion as it is time for Red 5 Transmissions Radio.
Alright gang, and with that, welcome to the latest episode of Red 5 Transmissions Radio, where we will be talking the latest episode of Star Wars Rebels. I am your host, Davidson, and aboard the Ghost, and with me, the co-pilot in the Ghost, you know, your friend and mine, all the way out in Dagobah, that's Florida for you non-Star Wars people, Matt Clifton. Matt, welcome back.
Hello.
All right, well, let's discuss the latest episode, Out of Darkness. And
yes.
Guys, you're not afraid of the dark, are you? No, no, don't be confused. It's not a pitch black podcast. It's still Star Wars. It's still Star Wars. Let's make that clear. Matt, first impressions with this episode.
They mostly come out at night. Mostly.
It's no, not Halloween no, anymore, man. You can drop the Halloween voice.
Yeah. But no, I'll tell you what. It was a bit revealing. And by that sense, I mean, in this episode, we get to see who the real leader of Team Ghost is. And it's not Kanan.
Well, you know, I would argue that we really haven't seen much of Kanan be a character. I mean, to me, Matt, to me, the most fleshed out in the series has been Hera.
Yes.
And the real character defining for Kanan came out of John Jackson Miller's A New Dawn.
Yes.
So far, we haven't seen much of the personality in Kanan in the show. I mean, sure, he has Thunderbird's hair, he has a little soul patch, he has a ponytail, but it's kind of like, where else is the development? I'm actually hoping that that comic series coming, Star Wars Kanan, The Last Padawan, which, by the way, gang, should tell you, just by its setting, that no, they're not abandoning the prequel era, so get that mess out of your head.
Yeah, the most of Kanan's personality that we've seen has been in Rise of the Old Masters.
Well, yes, so far, yes.
And that's it.
And that's it. That's, I mean, but that is also very minimal development. You would think when the series started, they would have, you know, latched on to Kanan like a fine-tooth comb. Right? Or, you know, because we all know that's what you get a Wookiee for Christmas.
Yeah, but it's just, in when you look at it, any of the, like, the extras regarding to the series and whatnot, I always say that Kanan's the leader of the group. And maybe in the field, and maybe on the outside, or just, you know, for looks and all that. But the real leader, the real mastermind behind Team Ghost is Hera.
Oh yeah, and definitely,
hands down, and we see it in this episode.
Yep. And, you know, for you fangirls out there, especially Trish and Teresa, fangirls going rogue, Sabine actually gets to do stuff.
Yes, yes,
yes. There, our fangirl is going to plug.
Awesome. Yeah, how about Sabine trust issues, huh?
But you know what? She's a Mandalorian, and we've seen from Mandalore that they're not too trusting.
No.
Or I will say, we used to see that from the Mandalorians, but that's the Karen Travis Mandalorian interpretation.
That's not open to
Mandalorian. I'm just saying that we've seen two things of Mandalorians. There's the Travis camp, and then there's the George turned them from warriors to Vulcans.
Yes. Yeah,
so there's a Mandalorian split.
Yeah. Yeah. So we find out that Sabine's been to Imperial training on Mandalore.
Mm-hmm. Well, and automatically that, to me, made me think of the episodes with Ahsoka and the Mandalorian cadets, which is a shame because I really didn't want to think of those again. I mean, I love Clone Wars and I love Ahsoka, but those were not. Let's just not go there.
True. But that's a good callback.
Yeah, it is a good callback because what it does is, you know, cement more of the connections of why you should be looking at Star Wars Rebels as a sequel series.
Mm-hmm.
Because it pretty much is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, people. If we're going to call Girl Meets World a sequel series to Boy Meets World, we can do that with Star Wars Rebels.
Absolutely. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Ahead of ourselves.
I'm sorry. That's my fault.
Let's talk about... I gotta ask you something, Matt. In the beginning, I found the Zeb Ezra Chopper sort of big brothery bickering, cute and funny. Like all good Star Wars, it's supposed to make you laugh. I mean, mm-hmm. George set humor in Star Wars for a reason. Filoni has stated that many times.
Yes,
but I gotta ask. Is it starting to feel a little worn?
Worn.
Like, worn. Do they need to, sparse the humor out? Do they need to take a break from it? I mean, it's no different than the Ahsoka R2-E-R2 nonsense.
Okay, well, that was a little bit more... That was definitely more kiddy. The R2-E, I forgot about that.
But it belongs in the same sort of, is it too much?
Is it too much? I think it's handled well. The dialogue isn't too childish, I find.
Okay.
But it might benefit from a little breaking up. A little bit more, trying to switch it up a little bit.
Sort of leave a cookie trail of humor throughout the series?
Maybe, it's still the beginning of the season, it's still those episodes. The heat on it's turned up right now, and it'll be cooled down in future episodes, I'm sure. But I've been saying that a lot.
Yes, you have been saying that a lot. But what? That's what we do here at our... We nitpick, we sort of go, wait a minute. Except, I don't have any Chicago ire or anything like that.
But I tell you what I would have wanted.
What?
In the scene where it shows the ghosts going through space and the music playing, and... Zeb is about to eat a big bowl of space. Right?
Yeah.
One thing that would make that perfect is instead of that Max Rebo pop music, that Bon Jovi, Raise Your Hand is playing, and Zeb dancing with those space waffles while Kanan is asleep at the wheel. Boom.
Are you saying you would have wanted that to be more on the nose Spaceballs, like barf,
and then
barf,
and then Pizza the Hut calls?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Now let's talk about this contact that Hera's in touch with.
Fulcrum.
You know what? I'm gonna just state out publicly because we know Dave Filoni and company are listening. But is it me or could Fulcrum be Yularen?
That is the popular theory going around right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great one. It's a fantastic one. Brian Snook brought that up, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
I will say this. If Fulcrum does turn out to be Yularen, then all arguments of whether or not it's a sequel series to Clone Wars get thrown out the window.
Well, absolutely. But, Yularen was in A New Hope, so there you go.
True.
Yeah, there you go. But let me ask you this. Did Hera, and I watched the episode again, but I didn't pay attention enough, I guess. Did Hera at any point refer to Fulcrum as a he?
No.
Okay. Okay, but I know Sabine said Mystery Man a few times and all that, but Sabine's never met Fulcrum before. It's Hera that we can assume that's met Fulcrum face-to-face, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, we can bust out our list of the usual suspects. And right now, Yularen, that's a great theory.
Hondo. Awesome
theory. Hondo. Okay, all right. The obvious choice would be Bail Organa.
Yes. Well, but I would dispute that a little bit and push back and say Bail showed up already.
True.
I would
true.
Not want Bail to become like the guest of the week.
Yeah. So very true. So the big question is who is the clairvoyant? I Fulcrum.
Yeah, stay focused, man. You're thinking that certain Marvel show. We're not going there.
Just had to make that.
You just had to go there, yes. You just had to do it. All right.
I'm sorry.
But it's fine. It's fine.
But, with all the secrecy and that Hera's obviously been doing, no questions asked and all that, maybe she met Bail on the side after that. After the Droids in Distress episode, and they made a deal. Who knows? It'd be too obvious, I think.
Well, here's a brain teaser for you.
Fire.
And this may turn out to be entirely false, depending on how that Lords of the Sith novel turns out, or whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
But what if Fulcrum is actually Chim? Chim Syndulla.
Yeah, it's possible. I really, really listened to that part where she's talking to him, but it's so garbled. It could, it could be anybody. I think I made out an accent, and then maybe not. It sounded definitely male, and then it could have been, changed and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It could be female. They did a good job garbling that out.
I couldn't
make heads or tails of it.
It could be Lando. Billy Dee Williams is showing up.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about. Yeah. Oh man.
So we know Billy Dee Williams is showing up at some point in the show, whether it's this season or not.
Oh, man. I want a hello, what have we here?
Well, come on, man. I will just say, just for, flirtation's sake, you do know if, they do meet Lando, that's the first thing he's going to pull on Hera.
Oh, absolutely. Or right? Sabine. Well, too young. Never mind.
Yeah, too young. Let's not go there with Sabine, okay? I'm gonna have nightmares about that.
Sorry.
Although I would pull that with Tia Sirkar, but... Yeah. Oh, well.
But, the mark on the box, did that ring any bells for you?
No.
No, me neither.
You know what? I will just point this out. And people have made so many, you know, Fireflies, Serenity ties with Rebels, which I think is, you know, warranted if you're a crazy person. Although I will say that the only one I give credence to is that Zeb is full-on Jane Cobb.
Yep.
Except the better version of Jane Cobb. It's like Jane 2.0.
Yes.
However, I do think if you really wanted to be Firefly, what would have been in those crates
is
Ahsoka.
Ahsoka? Well, you know, what we saw in the box in Firefly, they could not do on Rebels.
I'm just saying, you know, there's this Jedi hibernation for a reason, son. Yes. Although maybe that's all legends. Maybe that doesn't matter anymore.
Nah, she wouldn't be in the box. She'd be in a slab of carbonite.
I don't know. If people really wanted to make the Firefly comparison, though, that's where their head would be at. You know that.
Yes. So I saw those markings, and I was like, I couldn't help but think, maybe Ahsoka's facial markings? But no. It was wishful thinking. It's not.
Well, maybe since it's Dave Filoni, maybe it's Zero's tattoo.
No.
I don't know. You know, somewhere I say that and somewhere Jimmy Max ears perk up.
Yeah, that's like, very true. Like, in the neighborhood?
Senator? A treaty is impossible.
Oh, man. But, I loved it when Hera's reasoning for all the secrecy, telling them that, you know, not even Kanan knows, apparently. And he said, you know, if Hera trusts the contact, I trust the contact, and I don't ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And when she would called her out on that, and Hera said, you know, the less all of you know, the better. And then when Sabine said, you think I talk? And I just love Hera's, she's not naive to it at all. You know, the Empire is chemicals, torture, the dark side. I mean, the Empire has ways of making you talk, and I love that.
You know, it's typical Disney fare, that Empire. It's like people, no, it's not.
Yes, no. I mean, it's all been done. The chemicals, the torture, the horrible machinations of the dark side. I mean, they'll make you talk. Make you talk.
Yeah. Or so in very Hydra speak, they will make you comply.
Oh.
Yes, except give me the Empire's version of comply. Don't give me Hydra's version of comply.
There you go.
Right. It's Empire all the way, man.
Mm.
The Empire making people comply when Hydra was just a tiny little thought.
There you go. But yeah, so we finally got a Hera and Sabine episode.
Oh yeah, very much so. Now, that planet they're on, have we been there before?
I was thinking about that, and I was trying to think, have we seen the critters before? Have we seen this base on an asteroid?
And now, they did drop that it was an abandoned base after the Clone Wars.
Yes. Now, why the hell does the Republic always need to make a base near hostile fauna?
I don't know. It gives a nice action sequence, I guess.
That's true.
Yeah.
But it was always the case. Like in like in Rookies.
Oh yeah, yeah, the giant space lizard.
Yeah, the worms that come out of the wall that
yeah,
the buildings on
the
each.
The Frank Herbert's Dune all of a sudden.
Yeah. I'm just like, well, can we do some real estate first, guys?
I know. I miss the days of the cannibalistic teddy bears. to tell you the truth, I really want that back. I know, and as I say that, somewhere people are banging their head against their desk, going, "No, I don't."
But yeah, we get to the base, and we see like you know the trooper transport ship in there, and the Republic X-wings and all that. So that was cool.
Mm-hmm. Now, when Hera's giving her reasoning to Sabine, you know, before they encounter the critters, did you or did you not, I know I did, get a sense of episode 4 themes?
How so?
Well, when she's talking about something bigger than us,
yes.
You know, that kind
yes.
of thing.
Yes.
I'm like, I'm sorry, if that doesn't spell out where we're going with all this.
Oh, absolutely. And like when she says later on, near the end of the episode, we won't be the only ones fighting this fight.
Yeah.
I got chills. I was like, yeah.
I did too, man. I'm like, oh. I'll just say again, like I've said since the first episode, kids show my left, my knock foot.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know, if I could, I'd be like one of those Spartans from 300, except not look like that because that's unrealistic. But I'd be like, this is Star Wars, and then just kick you in the Sarlacc.
There you go. Yes. Yes, right in the pit.
No, oh. somebody meme that right now.
Oh,
meme it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Meme it. That'd be classic.
Yeah. Do these critters have an official name? Do we have a name for these guys?
I'm thinking critter.
I don't think we have an official name alien species yet.
I think they need to the rebels crew. I think they just need to get Mark Hamill to name everything.
Yes.
Since he's so good at that, you know.
The shadowy creatures or something.
And besides, now he's back to Babyface Hamill, and they're all wrapped with episode 7. He needs something to do.
I miss the beard.
At least before they start filming episode 8.
Yes.
And no, people, I will say as an aside, I really don't think Luke dies. You know, because think about it, man. If that were the case, you know, and say JJ hadn't taken over the script, right?
Mm-hmm.
I do think Luke would have been, you know, exactly like Obi-Wan. Go out in 7 like Obi-Wan went out in 4.
Mm-hmm.
But because JJ wanted one last hurrah with the original bunch,
mm-hmm.
I think... If Luke does go out, I think it'll be the middle to the end of 8.
Yes, I totally agree on that.
Yeah.
If the unexpected thing would be for him to go out in the first one, but yeah, if you're going to follow, you know, like what the others have done in the past, like say Empire and all that, the big send off for him would be the middle one.
Well, The Force Awakens, man, it follows nothing.
Yeah. Very true.
Follows nothing.
Very true.
Anyway, back to Rebels. To Rebels, though. I will say again, gang, you cannot talk Rebels without talking some episode 7.
Absolutely not.
Especially now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, especially now with the wrapped film and everybody on, you know, that now begins that... That glossy fanboy scream like a schoolgirlish state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
But we were already in that already, so.
Mm-hmm.
And if you weren't, you're listening to the wrong show.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, finishing up the Rebels episode.
Oh, yeah.
Sabine, you know, I love her, but two things she's got to work on. Her trust issues and her armor.
Yeah, I'll agree. I agree with you on the armor.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, and her trust issues, man. I mean, you saw a lot of doubt from Sabine throughout this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she, you know, what I would love to see her get? A jetpack.
Oh yeah.
That's gonna be the thing. We're good. It'll be like a bit. It'll be a big thing. Maybe she'll go back to Mandalore, right? And maybe complete training or something like that.
Yeah.
She'll get the jetpack and maybe some more armor, some more pads and stuff.
Maybe she'll dye her hair less than Dennis Rodman.
I like her hair. It can stay that way.
Well, I like her hair, but if she's going to have a jetpack, be a little bit more Boba fetish. Because not that kind of fetish, but Boba-like, okay? Because what worries me, Matt, is I like Sabine as she is, but if she's in the full armor, I don't want it all bedazzled.
It's not bedazzled. It's customized.
Okay, well, call it what you will, man. It still looks like she visited some bedazzled store.
Oh, okay. Gosh. No.
Hey, you know those jetpacks are sacred, man, is all I'm saying.
Yes, right? Yes. But
by the way, Star Wars Celebration, why haven't I seen people flying around on jetpacks?
Mm-hmm. We did in, what was it, Celebration 3 or 4?
Oh, that one celebration where you ran the risk of nobody being able to hear for the whole weekend?
I guess so. Unfortunately, I did not attend that one.
Yeah, well, you know, you're going to have to attend this one, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We're going to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll kind of, you know, party like a film is dropping.
Oh, yes.
Like, because it is.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Anyway, Sabine's plan to stop the creatures... It's actually really inventive, you know, to explode the canisters, kind of fight them back, you know, kind of. Now, here's a question.
Fire.
Have we seen those canisters before? Because I think they're out of that really boring arc in the Clone Wars with that dancing frog and the droids and...
Oh, yeah, with Meeber Gasson?
Yeah.
Dadgummit. I was going to ask you the same question.
I was like, it seems familiar.
Yeah, the way she presented it and all that, I was like, I feel like I've seen this before, but I can't place where.
Well, and if that's the case, right?
Right.
Then you know the one thing that was missing. Forget Kanan and the ghost saving the day. The one thing that was missing was Gregor pulling a Vin Diesel on that planet.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
That would have been great. I mean, Filoni, I love you, but you missed a golden opportunity.
Man.
And you know what? Just for some time passage sake, you could have had Gregor have that Mark Hamill Sons of Anarchy beard.
Oh, that would have been cool.
That would have been awesome, man.
Saving them from the dark and telling them to stay out of the sheave. I mean, shade.
Boom. See, you're the one that dropped the sheave this time.
Well, I had to get it this time.
You're the one. Well, okay. I'm sheaving relieved. Oh, wait, now I did it.
You can't escape the sheave.
No. I kind of feel like that was George Lucas's last gift to everyone. You know, I mean, before he walked out the door, he just dropped the sheave like a bad habit.
He looks at everybody and says, by the way, Palpatine's first name is Sheev.
Yeah,
puts on the sunglasses and yeah! Walks away.
Instead of dropping Thor's hammer, he just drops Thor's Sheev. Oh, because only George can come up with a name like that.
Yes, Sheev. Yes.
Oh, well. Hey, you know what? Let's not make it a Sheev bash.
No. Oh,
that would be a great party, though. Everyone would go to the bathroom to take a Sheev.
Oh, God. But, you know, looking back at the Rhydonium and when they were blowing things up and all that, the way it exploded with those rainbow colors and all that.
Yeah.
Kind of a missed opportunity for Sabine to look and give it at least a ooh or something like that.
See, I kind of don't want that to always be the case because it goes back to the, you know, R2 debate, which is how childish does that get after a while?
Well, no. I mean, like, you know, the you know, nice colors and, well, I guess I see what you're saying.
Right. But you see what I'm getting at, though, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I do.
So I kind of want them to avoid that as much as I like, you know, that kind of thing and like a little humor laced out throughout the series.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of also want it to be its own series and not rely on, you know, what they've been doing so far.
Agreed.
Now, I do, when, what, I have to point this out, what was funny is when, Ezra and Zeb, get the message that, Hera and Sabine are in trouble.
Yes.
And they realize it's all their fault because their shenanigans caused a, well, gas leak.
Yes.
In their ship.
The blasted fuel line was cut.
Right, exactly. I love how they go to Kanan and Kanan's all Jedi meditating. And notice in that moment is the only time we hear some John Williams in the score. The rest is all Kiner throughout the episode.
Yes, true, except for the big rescue.
Well, okay, that, yeah. But you can't not have John Williams stuff during the big rescue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like a crime against ears.
It was like the perfect moment, too. It just, here comes the ghost, the da, da.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, yeah, mm-hmm. Pumped my fist up in the air. It was great.
But, but I love the moment where Kanan, you know, Zeb and Ezra are trying to tell Kanan what went wrong, and Kanan's like, I know. And Zeb has a reaction of some horse thing, right?
Yes.
And Kanan's like, no, you were outside.
I heard you through the door.
I mean, it's a real simple thing, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
That tells me that kind of little thing, while it may be small and speaks volumes, it tells me that they're not always going to rely on force use.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you can't in this time period.
Yeah.
Because if you relied on force use in this time period, Kanan would have been dead 3 episodes ago.
True.
Right?
True. Yep.
So it's little moments like that that say they're not always going to be falling on the, you know, force use in this series.
Mm-hmm.
And now, it doesn't mean it's not going to get heavy later on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking like, you know, Bill and Ted tripping Mortis heavy, but it's like, excellent!
Or like a sunny day in the wood.
Dude, you mentioned that one more time, I will find the red Skype button.
Oh, I apologize.
thank you. It's kind of like, I love the Clone Wars, but that arc? No.
Yeah.
Just give me R2 on his own mission.
Yeah.
Don't give me R2 and the D team or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, R2 on his own missions are great, you know, that's how we got introduced to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, essentially.
Yes.
Makes you wonder if The Force Awakens is going to have any droid POV. My guess, no, because that's not how studios like to think.
Mm-hmm.
That's how George liked to think, apparently.
Yeah.
But that's not how studios like to think.
Mm. Yeah.
But no, okay, so the ghost saves Sabine and Hera.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of pew 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 pew.
A lot of blaster fire in this one.
You can't have Star Wars without some pew pew.
Yes, lots of pew pew in this one.
Yes, it's like, what does the pew pew say? there's a song for you. There's one moment. And no, this isn't spelling anything big, but it could be if some fans want to go that way. But, and you know what the moment is. Ezra's on the ground and Sabine saves him.
Yes.
And of course, Sabine tells him later, don't let go of your head, kid.
Yeah. Ezra needs to drop it. I don't know if I'm sold on this.
I am not. You know,
yeah.
I mean after the after so many sort of romances in Star Wars, Anakin and Padme, Ahsoka and Lux.
Yes.
Ezra and Sabine, I'm like,
not a fan.
Just drop it.
Not a fan. However, the relationship I can't get behind in the chemistry is between Hera and Kanan. Keep it just like that.
Yep, keep it just like that. I thought you were going to say, and I'll just say, the one relationship I can get behind in Star Wars is Han and Leia.
Well, that's kind of like a given, right?
Well, that is a given, but also, given. Let's be honest, when he was going into Carbonite and she says, I love you, and he just says, I know, I'm mm-hmm. like, he is the biggest space pimp ever. I mean, it's like, thank you for improvising that line, Harrison. You made every male feel cool from like 1983 onward.
Oh, jeez. But then, of course, there's the deleted scene that right afterwards, Chewie goes, oh, no, and he goes, that I didn't know.
You're talking Family Guy, man. Stop being
Robot
confused.
Robot Chicken, actually.
Okay, whatever. Fine. I'm talking strictly Empire.
I know. I'm sorry.
But no. I think, Matt, that will wrap up this episode.
All right, I think so.
So again, as always, Matt, it's great talking with you. Thanks for your time, and we'll talk again.
Absolutely.
And the next episode will be, folks, you have to listen to R5TR to find out. Shocking. I know. We're going to make you listen to it.
You got to listen.
All right, my friends. Man, I'll see you next time. And remember again,
stay rebellious.
Thanks for listening to Red 5 Transmissions Radio.
I don't have a shot!
Chopper, do you have the coordinates?
What did he say?
He said hello, hyperspace.
Star Wars and Star Wars Rebels are trademarks of Lucasfilm Limited, Lucasfilm Animation, respectively. All rights reserved.
Come on, kid, do something.
Lucasfilm and Lucasfilm Animation are subsidiaries of the Walt Disney Company.
I am the Inquisitor. Or Boston.
Chopper, get us out of here! Unlock, Chopper, make friends.
Hera, you're good to go.
The hopes of our mission become a complete debacle. Don't you trust me.
This is the Padawan I encountered on Stygian Prime.
This podcast is not sponsored or endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or its subsidiary, Lucasfilm.
Have no fear. Help is on the way.
Advance and fire!
There's a lot more at stake than you realize.
What's the worst that could happen?
Red 5 Transmissions Radio is meant for entertainment and information purposes only. All rights reserved.
Well, kid, you pulled it off.
Was there ever any doubt?
Yes.